Welcome back to episode 223. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, we had an eventful week. There were a few elections. Ones that caught notice were ones in New Jersey and Virginia. New Jersey, the governor there, Murphy, had a close call. I think he probably lost, if not for maybe some mail-in ballots that popped up and spared him from defeat. At the Senate, I think the head of the Senate up there, Democrat, lost by a few thousand votes to a truck driver. And then I read a headline today that he claims that they found 12,000 ballots in a garage somewhere. So
right, I know. The truck driver should find some ballots too.
So I'll raise those ballots. I can find ballots too, I guess. Yeah. And Governor Wolf, Pennsylvania, admitted that he voted a mail-in ballot and had his wife mail it for him, which actually is a violation of election law, which I thought was funny. It's like supposed to do it in person. No one does, though, or a lot of people don't, apparently. But these elections, I think the guy in New Jersey still hasn't conceded. There's some disputes, but I don't think he'll be able to prevail there. But in Virginia, you had Glenn Youngkin defeat, the corrupticon Clinton creature, Terry McAuliffe, by almost 3 points. People thought Virginia was a solid blue state. Apparently something has changed. Of course, Virginia had, some issues, some controversies going into the election, the tail end of the election. I think Terry McAuliffe almost self-destructed. He during a debate, he said he didn't think parents should have a say or control what's in tell schools how to teach their kids or control education. Of course, the Youngkin campaign exploited that as well they should. You had the controversy in Fairfax and also neighboring Loudoun County regarding, the books that are available, books promoting pedophilia, homosexual sex with kids. And of course, then you had the whole transgender issue. Then the critical race theory, as they now call CRT, came to the forefront. And you had sort of a rebellion out there. The Biden administration came to Glenn Youngkin's aid because it was the Biden administration, it was the Justice Department. I don't think Biden's in control of it, but that's when the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, interceded and proclaimed that, suggest that parents who were, again, voicing their concern to the school board might be considered domestic terrorists. And that you can say it caused a backlash. Some have called the election in Virginia a white backlash because supposedly Youngkin was dog whistling white issues. I don't know if they're specifically white issues or not, but Youngkin did get almost 2/3 of the white vote in Virginia and might give some politicians a hint on a strategy for victory, actually appealing to the majority of the country in their interest.
Yeah, that's right.
You might want to represent them. Nevertheless, the Republican Party is still touting the fact that, we have a first African-American lieutenant governor in Virginia, blah, blah, blah. And we got so many Hispanic American, which I think is like 35% or something. In the meantime, they still, what the Democrats' reaction is to, we'll bring in more newcomers to darken the state, right. I guess you can say. So that's their strategy, is dilute the electorate. A replacement has to go at a faster pace, I guess. And not rethinking any policies, of course. But of course, I think a lot of it was also a reaction to all the COVID nonsense because of the mask wearing, the school closures, the restrictions, and not to mention, I think Youngkin did campaign against a mask mandate and also a vaccine mandate. And Terry McAuliffe, at least for the longest time, were running these ads promoting mask mandates and the vaccine. So maybe this is a insight into how COVID has affected, electoral politics.
Yeah, clear as a bell. McAuliffe was pro-vax mandates, pro-vax in general, and pro-critical race theory and transgenderism. That's another kind of issue.
Particularly the Attorney General candidate, by the way. He actually campaigned defending, protecting the interest of the transgender community. And he was a Soros guy. Another thing is the Mayorkas, the Cuban American beat the incumbent Attorney General who was a Soros guy. So it was a sweep for the Republicans. Yeah.
And these things are critical because they delay the monolithic application of mandates in the United States. Another example was, wasn't an elective example, but Biden's big business vax mandate was turned away, stayed by a federal judge. So the process will take a while. And of course, in the meantime, the small business mandate, which they've been hinting at, it will not be able to be rolled out. So all of this is really good news, Tim. And I really was heartened by the elections, even though, as we had mentioned one another before, you know, we started recording, they don't really mean anything in one sense because, you know, these individuals can be influenced, but they're tremendously symbolically important. And moreover, just their actual political behavior does slow down, you know, the aspects of the genocide, frankly. Mm-hmm. So this is critical because the good news is, and I'm not sure you can really characterize it as good news, but the genocide is now becoming really visible. And I'm not sure how much longer they'll be able to keep it from becoming, you know, understood by everyone. The excess deaths are occurring in almost every single country and now are quite visible. They can't really be hidden anymore. There was a good article in the UNS Review by Mike Whitney. It's online, and he goes through all the nations that are experiencing the excess deaths, and it's just the so many of them that can't possibly be circumstantial. It's clearly related to the vaccine, and so we are both getting this this signal of the genocide's existence that can't be ignored, but we're also getting, you know, an understanding now of how the vaccine is intended to kill us. You know, you look at the excess deaths and you can see that, you know, they're related to thrombosis, you know, very often, but there's also autoimmune issues that are popping up now. Unusual amounts of cancer are appearing, and this is because the immune systems are not going to work properly. There's a very, if anyone's interested in sort of having the understanding of the science of the genocide, I would suggest Guillaume Biological. It's on Twitch. The guy's name is John Cooey. He's a biologist. It's G-I-G-A-O-H-M Biological. Look at it on Twitch. And he conducts a class like three or four times a week in the vaccine and brings up the science papers which show how it will kill people. And he makes very clear predictions about, you know, what we're going to be experiencing in a couple months. So, you know, my point being is that the political activity that slows down the mandates particularly is just critical right now because we want the largest fraction of healthy, able-bodied individuals, you know, once the transition is made to basically all-out warfare to be prepared for fighting, because, you know, the secret society will be exposed here, in my opinion, fairly quickly. I mean, you know, another example is the recent disclosure that 5% of the lots were responsible for nearly 100% of the COVID vaccine deaths. Now, what was important about that is that it first was recorded in with Pfizer, but then approximately at the same time, more research was done, and it turned out that Moderna had created the same pattern. And so, whereas one, you could imagine it could be a catastrophic failure of a protocol, But when two have the same failure, then it seems more likely to be deliberate. And believe it or not, there has been analysis done, which I have not checked, but I will just report the fact that there is analysis now showing that it was the red states primarily that got the bad batches. So that gives you an understanding of, you know, the mechanical control over the genocide, which we've talked about in previous shows, that they have a kind of mechanical control. They can, you know, boil the frog, you know, with just the right amount of if this analysis concerning the death lots is correct, they can boil the frog by killing just enough people so that it's very hard for, you know, the layperson, particularly when the mainstream media is not reporting any of it, to be aware it's going on. But obviously, you know, going forward, you can see that this will compound to very quickly to the point where you can't really hide it. And we will know that we are being genocided. It will just be clear as a bell, in my opinion. And so then, you know, people can make better decisions about about what to do with the future. So here in California, we're not so lucky, but, you know, we're certainly doing better than Australia, where, you know, you can see in Australia, Tim, the effects of the citizens being unarmed. And, you know, it's the police are able to keep them locked down. There's no real resistance to them. The people, the citizens don't have any way really to resist. So, you know, here we're more diverse. The Masonic control isn't as deep. And so we can envision in a few months, you know, people able to resist the genocide, you know. So,
well, yeah, you have like the LA County Sheriff saying he's not going to enforce a vaccine mandate.
Yeah.
And not doing the mask mandate.
Exactly. And the
some city council, the same thing. Wasn't some city that declared their independence from the state or something recently?
Yeah, that happens all the time. it's not unusual. But, you know, I mean, and Newsom, interestingly, there's kind of an amusing anecdote. 10 days ago, he was proudly touting the fact that he was going to have his first booster. And he hasn't been seen since then. They don't know what's happened to him. I mean, I think it's unlikely he actually takes the drug, but
yeah, I think
the juxtaposition is amusing.
All these things are probably placebos or just staged, yeah.
Yeah, of course, you know. But anyway, it's sort of interesting that people are commenting on it. You know, now, of course, the children, they have a short Big Bird. I don't know if you've seen any of the ads where Big Bird takes Vax, but they're trying to get the kids, you know, to get vaxxed up. Obviously, this has to be resisted if just with any means possible. I was at dinner last night with a couple, and the wife, they had both taken the vax, and the wife had fainted immediately after. She had a bad reaction, and this was over a month ago, and she said she still wasn't right. She said there was something wrong, basically with her brain function, that she couldn't think clearly. So, you know, we were talking about the vaccine, and they just took the position that they would resist with force of arms if they had to, their kids getting the vaccine. So, you know, they had to do it for their employment, but they're not going to let their kids do it. I think that's kind of what I see happening en masse. The vaccine regretful will become very powerful advocates, stronger, I think, in many ways than even those that just resist for analytic reasons. I mean, if you're a parent and your kid gets sick, or if you get sick and your parent and your child is at risk of taking it, you're really going to be ferocious. So this is, you know, you can see that the kind of social fabric of the country over the next 60 days, 90 days is really going to change dramatically. You know, you know, you're going to get these all cases death numbers. I mean, because once they've started, we actually discussed this. It's amazing how we, you know, we talk about things and then lo and behold, Tim, they take place. You know, once this begins, once the all cases death starts to go up, and it's related to the vaccine, obviously, it isn't going to stop.
Well, right? How do you not see a correlation? You see all the nations that are most vaccinated had this huge spike in deaths from all causes, and it's the deaths are thrombosis, stroke, myocarditis. everything that what happened, or autoimmune disorder. These are all indications of an adverse reaction. I mean, and now it's happening. And was it Scotland's 30% more? More people are dying in 2021 than all in 2020. So, if anything, if you're in a raging pandemic in 2020, and the vaccines come out, and you should have less deaths. That's obviously not occurring. So obviously, it's a failure from the standpoint that as advertised. I think, just the fact that they're not seeing all these boosters. I think the CDC is considering a fourth shot now, which is an admission that it doesn't work, as expected. At the very least, you have to get another booster because it's not working.
Yeah, and of course the boost. You have this Russian roulette where they have the bad lots, the killing lots that they send out, and then some placebos are ones that are not as devastating. But if their intention is to boil the frog and just to get the maximum number of deaths out of every single iteration, they won't be able to do this, 10 times. I mean, the public, I think, is really, it's just becoming too apparent what's going on. And I think that that's why the mandates are so draconian right now, is because they're trying to get the very last few.
Well, even that, the draconian nature of the mandates are a bluff because they don't have legal standing. You have this supposed executive order, law by press conference. There is no executive order, at least that I haven't seen. And OSHA is trying to enact it. Well, OSHA is violating its own, because OSHA is a workplace safety. It's not involved in epidemiology and health. So they can't dictate. They'll tell you what type of boot to wear on a job site, or whether you should wear a hard helmet, or what the air quality is like. Ironically, to wear a mask, you actually violate OSHA rules.
They're just doing all this. At this point, it should be really clear. They're just trying to terrify people into taking the vaccine. These are
like who would have thought the CDC can order a moratorium on evictions? What's that to do with this?
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. Isn't it amazing? But remember they were going to have the door-to-door campaign. When these things happen, I think we've been pretty consistent in pointing out that these are just psychological operations. Whenever the public stands strong against them, they seem to have really good, they don't really try to press it. They haven't got, in the United States anyway.
Well, it was Catherine Austin Fitz was talking about the way this is being enforced is it's a public, it's not really a public health crisis. That's the ruse or the cover is they're trying to, reset everything, the economy, the currency, and the central banks are putting pressure on the corporations to enforce the mandate. And this is why you've had so much uniformity and they'll control the finances, the financing, where the money flows. And so you can put a lot of pressure on a company to abide by it. And the federal government, of course, that is there can withdraw contracts from companies and to bring them to heel. That's what we're seeing. And it's not based on there's no argument. It's just sheer intimidation and force.
It's a psychological maneuver more than anything else. I know of a small business in San Francisco. I know some of the employees and had a communication with them. And they say that, like, they have 15, 20 employees. They say that there's only two or three people that are vaxxed. Everyone claims to be vaxxed, but because they have to. But none of these people are vaxxed. And they say that who would enforce it? In other words, if you go to the restaurants there, I know that in some nations it's, they actually have the vax passport, but that isn't the case in San Francisco. You're supposed to be self-enforcing. And so right now it's a tempest in a teapot. It's just, the smoke and mirrors, they're trying to intimidate people into getting the vaccine. but they haven't really gotten the small businesses to comply with actually monitoring it. So I think this is good news. I think that there's, you know, we've talked about the statistics are fake. They claim now there's 70% of the adults are vaccinated. I think it's probably maybe 55.
Yeah, I don't know why how can you trust those numbers? I mean,
you can't trust the numbers, yeah. But I think that just from my, you know, small sample sizes, it looks to me pretty good. If you told me, you know, 7 months ago, we would get to this point where the visible signals of the genocide are now becoming absolutely transparent, and we still had at least maybe 35% of the adults capable of fighting, I would say that would have been just a, you know, heroic conclusion. It's just amazing. So,
the CDC came out and said, you know, that they're going to approve and encourage 5 to 11-year-olds getting it. And if you look at the numbers, I think they're in the United States, there are about 32 million children between the ages of 5 and 11. There have been 94 reported deaths. Now those deaths,
comorbidities, you know, the kids had tuberculosis, all kind of weird stuff. So yeah, there's hard. I mean, basically zero is the true number.
Yeah.
It's just intimidation. In some school districts, they've been pretty successful intimidating, you know, because they have the Soros school boards in there, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, God help us, they will try to enforce or encourage or intimidate, you know, so the children to do the vaccines. This is just one of these moments in history where parents have to be clear-minded. I mean, what can you say? There should be enough. This is why, in my opinion, Tim, the really critical role of the independent media over the next like 45 days is just to be as loud and clear as possible so that the parents of the kids can realize that their instincts are correct and this is just evil and it's wrong. And they'll have the courage to like not let their kids do the mandates. And if they have school mandates where they have to do it, then just to pull them the hell out. You know, that there's just no, you cannot let your 5 or 6-year-old kid get one of these genetic transvections. I mean, it's just, you have no way of knowing what the future will be of your child if you permit this to occur. I mean, there's all this evidence now to show that there's a lot to be worried about, but we haven't really even got into the long-term problems with the immune system that this thing could create. The parents have to at least be aware that it's possible that these things could occur. So they've got to just say no. You got to have the courage to say no. So I'm hoping that, you know, the independent media powerhouses like you will take it, you know, to heart and just try to really make it clear to the parents that this is the time you have to protect your kid.
Yeah, and they're going to, again, try to continue with the sort of policies to ostracize those who don't comply, meaning denying them. Obviously, the Biden administration is seeking to threaten the employment of 81 million Americans that don't comply. And it seems they have they don't seem to care, at least the effect it has on the overall economy, the problems they've created with, you know, obviously with the work stoppages, the labor shortages they've created, production problems they've created, you know, under the guise of a health emergency. And now we're seeing the effects of this, the shortages, the supply chain disruptions and what that portends.
Did you see that they waived the requirements for truck drivers to get the vaccine?
Well, that's a positive sign. It means that there's some faction within the, I think, again, this is funny because you're seeing the political class now having to, you know, you've basically the electorate becoming really uneasy. And I think there's far more disenchantment that the media is letting on. Obviously, Biden approval ratings are in the tank, you know, or bottoming out below 30%. You know, he was never popular. He had no mandate. He was never popular to begin with. To the extent that people voted for him, they voted for him out of spite against Donald Trump and what they thought Donald Trump represented. You know, what he looked like, more or less. Nevertheless, you know, 50%, roughly 50% voted for Biden because of that. And but there was no mandate. And so he comes on, then he comes with this heavy handed approach to enforce that, even after he said he wasn't going to create a mandate, he does. He doesn't have the authority to do it. And that said, like the court ruled in Louis, like the court, federal court recently ruled, is the mandates that he's trying to impose are effectively a legislative act, which he doesn't have power to do, you know. So the political class, particularly at the state level, is sort of responding to this now. And that's why you have, you know, some hope at that level of fighting it. And of course, we're finding out that there's still a lot of, I guess, kick left in federalism in this country, where the states still have a lot of recourse. It's not, you know, a top-down centralized as they want it to be. Good, like with the Youngkin thing, it's a broadly positive sign, you know, basically. Yeah. But even with Youngkin, a lot of it could be a de-radicalizing moment, meaning that the people were radicalized to the extent that people were getting to the truth, the root of the matter, if you will, the actual meaning of the word radical is getting to the root of the matter. And when they were going up and they were protesting in front of school boards and challenging their legitimacy, that was a healthy thing. Now, the problem when you get someone like Youngkin elected, where people go home and think, well, we elected the right guy now, he's going to go out and root. Is he going to go out throughout the state and root out these school boards? No, the pressure has to be applied, has to be increased on these school boards. And usually the natural reaction is to kind of lay back and not do it, you know. So that's the problem.
Right.
And even Youngkin himself, he came from the Carlisle group,
Right.
You know, and he himself has dedicated administration to fighting anti-Semitism.
I mean, I think he's an actor, but
yeah,
But
my point is, if you're going to be crusading against anti-Semitism, already he was accused of anti-Semitism because of the anti-critical race theory stuff that he was supporting. So he can't get around it, because the moment you start investigating critical race theory, transgenderism, these things in the schools, you get to Jewish organizations that are promoting it, and Jewish oligarchs. Soros, you know, the Pritzkers, or, you know, these, you know, and all of a sudden they're accused. So if you criticize these organizations that are Jewish, you're accused of anti-Semitism when, the Jewish power structure is critical in promoting critical race theory, transgenderism. So that's one of the problems with that. If you're afraid of getting the anti-Semitism label, or you're dedicating yourself to fighting anti-Semitism in the state of Virginia, it's going to blunt your campaign, supposedly waging the culture war, because you're not able to engage those agents or those forces that are waging the culture war against you, you know. So
yeah exactly. It's I mean, we have covered this, Tim. Mm-hmm. mean, the intimidation works inside the minds of everyone.
Yeah
all Europeans have this force that thinking clearly, it is visible in a few documents. I always reference, chapter 23 of the Authoritarian Personality, because it's just so vivid, but there's hundreds of others, where you can just see the influence. And it's all directed to make the European incapable of thinking clearly. There's always, you have anti-Semitism on one side and the workers' paradise on the other. Both of these things are, basically illusions, and they're there just to paralyze and to accept things like the control of the ownership of stocks in the United States. You look at these corporations, probably talk about later on, the volume of control that these corporations, which are related to the Federal Reserve and the banking families, it's not democratic. It can't ever create a culture that the people who are on the outside looking in will have any real power. And yet, if you go against it, you have these, you're anti-Semitic, you're wrong, there's something, And so, all we can do is just try to put all that aside. Particularly at this moment, I think we have to just think as clearly as we can, and so, we just can't worry about things like the the charge of anti-Semitism are of, I mean, you know, the homophobic, you know, it's just these kinds of ideas, you know, I mean, just forget about them. This, we're in the period here of just self-preservation. And so, you know, we just can't bother to even waste time, you know, with this kind of stuff. I'm actually, you know, I call it the purification, because the people who are the most susceptible to the propaganda, they will be the highest fraction of the people who've taken the vaccine. And so I think a lot of them will, you know, just judging from the data that's come in the last week, a lot of them are just dead men walking. But they're certainly going to be damaged dramatically. And the idea is that they will have the right response to this. You know, they will become vaccine regretful. And from there, they can, you know, they can think more clearly and merge with the ones that have been skeptical of the government all along. And then we will be a proper political fighting organization.
Related to that, I sent you that link to the video.
Yeah,
the documentary.
Yeah.
On who owns the world, Monopoly. Owns the and yeah, it was a great, about an hour long. Wasn't too long, but it kind of shows us how just a handful of large corporations, these private investment companies, dominate our lives. Pretty much everything we eat, drink, put on, wear, or you know, is produced by them. And it's these a handful of investment firms, and they'll control the flow of money worldwide.
It was fascinating.
There's the illusion of competition here, but if you look at it, they're all interlocked. They all own each other.
Yeah, they're all owned by the same group, and they have the same perspective. And the technique he used was to just take a day in the life and to go through the different events that a person experienced, and then showed that every one of these things was something that was ultimately being sold by these very, very few individuals and corporations.
It's Vanguard, BlackRock, State Street, and then Berkshire Hathaway.
He named the families that were involved with the ownership of it. They owned a lot of all of those things. It's branched out, but obviously the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, Warburgs, you know, I mean, these are the original owners of those, you know, of the shares. It's just straightforward. There's really not a lot anyone can complain about in terms of the presentation in that video. I mean, it's just absolutely correct. There's just these very few people that own everything, and they didn't get the ownership through business acumen. They got the ownership because by controlling the Federal Reserve, they were able to get money cheaper than everybody else. And therefore their credit would enable them to create a situation where everyone else was paying compound interest to them, who had basically out of thin air bought treasury bonds from the government with this, you know, at an arbitrage to what they were basically charging themselves.
Right? Yes, yes.
So this little sleight of hand created a situation where the owners of the Federal Reserve ended up owning everything. And they are branched out now into these corporations that have names like BlackRock, but it's the gimmick, you know, is in back of all of this. You know, this, the ownership of credit production, charging yourself a lower interest rate, and then using the arbitrage, that difference, as a leverage just to buy everything, which is what's happened.
Yeah, and so they've been able to concentrate greater economic power, which they leverage for political power. And he mentions, you know, a lot of how a lot of these the people that work for BlackRock, you know, or State Street, or Goldman Sachs, they'll go in and out of the Treasury Department, you know, the government, and so there's a revolving door here, a relationship here, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had mentioned that I was fascinated by the video. We should mention the name of it so people can watch it.
Yeah, it's Monopoly, Who Owns the World by Tim Gillian.
It's really well done. Very entertaining, too.
Well, one thing, it's visual. Lays out a schematic, how they all own each other. And then, BlackRock being sort of at the top of the heap here. I'm sorry, BlackRock up there, but Vanguard. And Vanguard's ownership is secret, like the Federal Reserve, which is interesting.
Like the Federal Reserve, which gives you a clue that it's probably the same group, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's an indication.
No one else could make money, and so no one else could have that kind of corporation with that sort of ownership. And what was interesting to me about the video was he names families, and the groups that he named were such an overlap to Eustace Mullins' work, The Secrets of the Federal Reserve, where he was really kind of the first one to out the Rothschilds, Kuhn, Loeb, the Warburgs. I mean, these were the Rockefellers, the Benjamin Strong. The group that Mullins outed is still there, and in back of, to a large extent, of all of these, fantastically gigantic corporation that are just there to own the shares in corporation. It's really a kind of financial slavery, isn't it? And it's just that the people who are participating in it, like the individual in the film, who went through his day buying all these different things, thinking that he was participating in some kind of real economy. Actually, he was in a very tightly controlled slave state. That what he was buying was for this very few people, and they were the ones, charging the profit and where it was available.
Well, which is why the destruction of small business is so important, because small businesses are outside that matrix or control mechanism.
I had a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, and he's kind of a left right, hates taxation, doesn't like the liberals because they're going to tax his money. And he lives outside of Seattle, and he didn't understand why my position that the oligarchs were deliberately destroying, the business in Seattle. And he said, well, how can they make money on this? I mean, you can see how deluded the individual is, that he doesn't understand that they can create money out of thin air. Mm-hmm. It isn't money that is really what is driving them for these destruction phases. It's power and control.
Yeah, I don't think David Rockefeller ever had a personal checking account. I don't think he had a driver's license. These things didn't matter to him.
No, I mean,
all this red tape in this bureaucracy and things that we have to govern. Money's a governing tool, and they impose it on you to govern you. And that's one thing after why they control the banking system. But they'll manipulate the flow of money to acquire hard real assets, whether it's precious metals or farmland. Look at Bill Gates. He's not even at the top of the heap. He's just an agent, but he owns $250,000 farmland. No one individual should own. He probably doesn't own it really. He's just a front man. Just like Microsoft's front, because we all know, look at the documentary, Microsoft is owned by the same people who own, or control rather, Apple. Again, the thing is control. So you don't have to own 51% of stock. It can be 30%, you control it, you're the board, and you got, this is a while back we discussed the idea of ESG, which is environmental, social values, governance, corporations, and Larry Fink of BlackRock talks a lot about this. And it turns out that BlackRock itself is controlled by Vanguard, whoever controls. So he's not really in control. But basically, even Larry Fink, do you want the values of Larry Fink really governing us? Because overall, it's not government that get controls things. It's these corporations. It's BlackRock, and they're controlling these corporations that they're actually impose the green agenda, the green economy. They'll impose transgender policies, and they'll impose censorship. You will wonder how so many corporations could coordinate to say to cancel someone like Alex Jones in one afternoon. There's obviously collusion, and you want to ask yourself, why isn't this violation of trust, antitrust law? All get together and they suspend everything for him, and that goes across the board for other dissidents or people that the system doesn't like for whatever reason. Is how do you do this? How do you get the censorship, coordination censorship between, and then you have the Jen Psaki or Psaki, whatever you pronounce your name, openly saying that when you do get deplatformed on one platform, it should be across the board. Because what's the point? Well, this is the administration coming out advocating censorship. At that point, she's admitting that Facebook and YouTube and Instagram and all these platforms are involved in governmental censorship.
And it was an amazing admission, wasn't it? Yeah.
But this is how platforms. They coordinate. And this also gives us an indication how something like the COVID operation could be coordinated across the board. Because ordinarily, you would think, 190 countries, these all different governments, all these corporations are governed by people who have different views. There's a lot of, heterodoxy, a lot of diversities. How did everyone disagree to us? Well, there you go. They're all interlocked, they're all owned by the same group. So the board could issue these orders from on high and they'd be implemented. And that's what's happening. And the board, the people that are on the board, which we're not really given to know because we don't know who the owner of Vanguard is, but they're going to respond to the commands of the central banks. And it's interesting because we do know that in August of 2019 in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, the decision to go direct was made by the central banks, and the plan was written by BlackRock. And the plan was about this huge bailout that did occur in March 2020, supposedly in response to the pandemic and the lockdown to bail out the stock market. But BlackRock in 2019 wrote the bailout plan, which they were entrusted with implementing several months later. So that's why with that decision in Jackson, Wyoming 2019 is very key to what's transpired in the last 20 months.
Yeah,
it's a financial coup d'état. It's not a pandemic.
It's just ironic juxtaposition where, one hand is, they're just stealing and passing money back and forth to one another. It's almost clown world. Kind of an example of this whole thing with Fauci and the bat lady of Wuhan, and it's just the idea of Fauci is both, it looks like, according to their narrative, the funding and controlling the gain of function research on one hand, and then he's responsible for, controlling the medical, response to the virus that he created. I mean, this is just ridiculous. These aren't events from the real world. I really do think that a lot of the stuff we're seeing now, Tim, is just done to like bamboozle us, just seems so preposterous. It's like Dick Levine becoming, a four-star admiral. There's no real purpose for this other.
You have a problem with lady admirals?
Yeah. No. Did you see the picture of Dick in his jacket? God, he looks so heroic.
Very proud. Yes.
Yeah, ready to man the USS Arizona.
He looks like Nimitz up there.
Yeah. So it's the world is the propaganda is always there, and I people take the economic reality serious. And you have to, because everyone participates in it. So it'd just be crazy not to pay attention to this stuff. But I will admit that more and more I see the financial people basically engaging in the same kind of rhetorical propaganda and crazy making that I see the medical,
connected. I mean, they're
They are connected. But it's just like the CDC has a whole collection. They have Peter Hotez and Paul Offit, and
I think BlackRock owns a huge portion of Pfizer stock.
They absolutely do control. And then Walensky is her name, the
CDC head. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so are these real people? I just when you look at the comments, where they don't seem to be. I think we're in more and more of the clown world theatrics, and certainly over the next 60 days, if you really start seeing I think the trends. If you look at the UNS article, you can see that the trends are all fully established now, and if you chart them out in 60 days, you're going to be in a there'll be so much death that it'll be hard to sweep under the table. And that's the end of the clown world, man. I mean, we will
I mean, it's almost, are they willing to take it down with them? Because at the same time, they're creating, you know, what they've done with the economy, printing all the money, paying people not to work, shutting down, you're creating shortages. It's not a surprise you have shortages when you stop production and print a lot of money. You're going to get inflation. At the same time, they've put all these employment, you know, effects, employment restrictions, you know, under the cover of the vaccine mandate, where they're firing these people. You're supposed in the middle of a raging pandemic, whatever. Then they're going to fire like a third or 40% of the hospital staff, so they're not getting vaccines. And then you ask the question, why are people in the know refusing the vaccine? Maybe they're seeing the effects of it, you know?
Right.
You know, I think 26, there are 26 firehouses that were shut down in New York because of the refusal of firing the vaccines. Sanitation has lost 30 to 40% of its employees. Now, I should think that people refusing are probably the most productive, most efficient members of
absolutely, these, you know, absolutely. It's just self-selecting for the best people, for sure. Yeah.
But the thing is, if you think about sanitation, well, wait a minute, sanitation is very important. In fact, sanitation is more important than vaccines in terms of maintaining public health, because that sanitation is one of the primary reasons why life expectancy increased. It wasn't needles, it was sanitation, better food quality, and all that. So, you know, if the sanitation system collapses, that's when you have an epidemic. But you have a commie like de Blasio, he doesn't seem to care, or he's working to tear the system down. Biden, I don't think is cognizant of what he's doing. So it's the people behind him, you know, it's the puppet people.
Every Soros mayor and DA is overtly, covertly working to destroy the city that they're, you know, that they represent.
Yes.
There's just no question. I mean, it's just, I got, I mean,
look at this trial. Look at the trial of Kyle Rittenhouse. This is a guy, a young man who should be heralded as a hero. He was out there defending property. He defended himself with remarkable restraint. He would have been justified in spraying that crowd, because every riot participant, if it had, you know, basically deserves to get shot if they're out there and they're attacking people, attacking property. And, you know, and they put this guy on trial. They're putting this guy on trial. Same with the two guys down in Georgia who had a citizen's arrest on Mount Arbery. In a sane society, that type of citizen action would be celebrated, but it's not. Because the prosecutors, the feds, the local prosecutors who are sources, they're trying to create mayhem, destroy law and order. And then when the police stand down, they go after the civilians who fill the breach. The question, like in Kenosha, Wisconsin, was why was that town relying on a teenager to defend property when they have a police force? Because the police stood down, you know.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
And how do these prosecutors sleep at night? They're trying to ruin a teenager, a young man, almost a child. I mean, he's young. He's 17, 18. Now he's 18 now. But I mean, just for political reasons. And how do they sleep at night? You know.
Well, they sleep at night because they're members of a secret society, and they've probably taken oaths to destroy him and his group. You know,
that's right. Sociopaths do sleep well at night. So
they probably sleep well at night. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the video. Rittenhouse's the FBI had it. They hadn't released
it
for some reason, and the video was just clear as a bell that they had chased him down. And they fired rounds at him before he opened up.
Yes.
So the idea that he wasn't acting in self-defense is ludicrous.
Then they try to belittle the fact that the other guy had a skateboard. You know, right. Well, the old joke is you never bring a skateboard to a gunfight. But you know, but escape. Did you see the skateboard?
It would have.
It's like a medieval weapon. I mean.
Yeah. So it's. You know, I mean, these things are just, they're almost self-evident, you know. I mean, you know, the situation in Australia, and you compare that to, you know, like Kenosha, you know, if the citizens are not armed, they are at a tremendous disadvantage in terms of the, you know, dealing with, you know, evil oligarchs, aren't they? You know, going forward, I would say the Rittenhouse trial, I can't imagine it's really going to get very far. I think I suspect it'll be a mistrial. The judge
will. Well, it is difficult because the judge seems to be reasonable, and the judge, like, prosecutor tried to call them victims, and he said no victims begs the question.
It's not a political winner for them. They're going to lose. So the woke political forces will just bail on this one. But the lesson, of course, is, get armed and stay armed and learn how to use your weapon. I mean, Rittenhouse is alive today because he's an expert with an AR. Mm-hmm. I mean, I couldn't have done what he did. And I mean, and so it's, but it turns out he'd had a lot of training. Yes. So there's your example. And,
he was there that morning cleaning up damaged businesses and all that, volunteer.
Yeah. No, a very righteous young man, from everything I can gather. Certainly courageous as can be. And man, can he use an AR. Yeah. So, it's, it's just, these are really hard conversational topics because, the idea of the capacity of militia, and you get into using weapons. I mean, you don't want to talk about these things. And of course there are laws, that are, you don't want to promote violence, but just looking at the next 3 or 4 months, Tim, what do you see? Do you want to give any, visions as to, what would be the best case for the next 4 months in terms of American culture? I mean, we're looking at food shortages. We're looking at the vaccine becoming exposed as a bioweapon. I mean, I just don't think that either of those things can be digested by and still maintain a kind of middle class vision of the world.
We wake up and you realize that what's happening is happening. It's hard to. Expect a normal, to expect normalcy politically. But the situation's fluid. They could relent. Like I said, they could look at the politics of the matter and say, okay, we've exposed ourselves too much here. We got to back off a little bit. And, I don't know what goes on in the secret meetings,
But I just think they're in a corner because I just think that just looking at the science papers, and incidentally, if you want to get into the science of the genocide, highly recommended Giga Home Biological. I mean, it's just extraordinary. The guy, John Cooey, is a biologist, and he just point after point goes through the science papers. A little hard to follow, actually. It takes, you have to kind of like develop the understanding of the vocabulary, but it is all very clear of the mechanics of what the vaccine is going to do to people going forward and what it's already done. So, you think about what do you think you've got here in the United States, 200 million, 150 million people vaccinated. If you start having a lot of them with autoimmune disorders, well, it isn't going to be the same America.
Yeah, that's the question, whether or not what's the percentage of those were placebos
or of course.
What percentage were those vials that were tainted or
The episode where they disclosed that, that only 5% of them. And now, Tim, think about what if it had been 100% of the lethal doses you'd already be looking at. I mean, if you had 20 times the mortality that the VAERS data is suggesting, you'd already be at millions of people dead. So when you think about going forward with the boosters, the second doses, all of the different ways they can get a real mortal dose into you, mm-hmm. You've really got to both resist the jab and the boosters, but just start to try to think about how to take care of people. It's like the woman I had dinner with last night, who's not feeling correct, wonderful person, has children. But what if she starts getting even sicker than she is? I mean, who's going to, how are you going to deal with this, So these are not going to be theoretical problems, in my opinion. We're going to have a way of life that'll be very different in 90 days. I mean, I hope to God I'm wrong. I hope that, you know, that, like you say, they relent, that they've done enough damage. They can just accept this and their power is now a little ossified. They don't want to have the exposure of a full-throated genocide. You know, they can perhaps hide from the effects that they've caused so far, and they don't have to become exposed. But I just think that they may have gone a little bit too far, and that there's just going to be too much exposure, too much clarity. And now, I mean, like I said, how does the middle class digest the awareness of being genocided and then still maintain kind of middle class morality? And
well, I would like to think that there'd be an accounting for the crimes,
yeah.
You know, some sort of trial, or I don't see that, you know, happening in the next few months. When you look at the entire operation, is, you know, the sort of the elite, the psychopaths, they've spent years raiding pension funds. Wall Street is bankrupt, and you've had this ongoing liquidity crisis, which led to that Jackson decision in 2019. Most Americans are sort of don't really understand that. It's hard to understand. It's beyond their, you know, their comprehension or their day-to-day interest or their concerns. But you know, the whole economy has been inflated through debt, and the aim now is to, I think, to impose or create a system of total control, full spectrum dominance. And this is what the shots are. The vaccine passports are key to this. I think the vaccine passport is a pathway towards the new financial system with central bank digital currencies, doing away with currency, creating like a social credit system. That's what we're all seeing with, you know, with people being first being deplatformed or being canceled and losing jobs and not behaving properly. I just think people have to cut in terms of the amount of they've been robbed and extorted over the years, and then maybe express themselves politically. A hint of that was maybe this past election that we just saw, where a lot of momentum behind it was sort of a dissatisfaction or just an exhaustion of the whole COVID agenda. They're not talking about that. They're saying that, you know, there was kind of like, well, it was a victory of the standard Republicans over the Trumpism. I think Trump's largely irrelevant at this point. But I mean, hold people accountable for it. They've transferred trillions of dollars of wealth from the American public over the years in the pockets of billionaires and other special interests, massive insider trading and all that. Just the shorting of stock of brick and mortar stores at the same time, going long on biotech stocks that were going to get rich with the with the pandemic, which they amazingly foresaw with, you know, Event 201 and lockstep.
It's like they can see in the future. It was incredible. Yeah,
it's amazing how prescient they are. Yeah. But when you control the banks, you control the media. That's another thing about that monopoly thing was so instructive, is you see the mechanisms of control and how you can see, wow, yeah, they can't all get together at Davos and coordinate these things and how they're going to run the economy or change the economy or reset the economy. And it's not crazy to think that such a conspiracy is possible. In fact, once you see it like that, it's hard to believe that it isn't a conspiracy. In fact, the world is run by a number of conspiracies. That's, you know, the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And the citizens are going to get to see the results of the conspiracy here pretty quick. Any advice, Tim, for just the middle class family that is, you know, waiting for this tidal wave to start to roll on shore? What do you do now and over the next couple months to just be ready for what could be a very dark winter? I hate to use the expression, but I am, so.
Well, it's I don't have a crystal ball, but it's one thing is it's important not to despair over it. A second thing is to try to inform as many people as possible, apply pressure locally, sheriffs, school boards, which we saw, which is a good sign of local politics. And one example we saw is just how weak the federal government is if the local governments don't participate in it. And we're seeing now it's a big bluff, you know, and it is a big bluff because all their mandates, all that require people to voluntarily submit to it.
Yeah, know? I don't think Biden's executive mandate has ever even come to, I mean, I, as far as I know, there's no paperwork on this.
No, it's legislation by press conference. Like,
yeah, and then when you look at the Southern bloc, you know, from Virginia now all the way to Texas, there's so many anti-mandate governors that there is this, for whatever reason, a process that is going to run way into the winter and beyond. It'll be, you know, if there was no dark winter, there would still be this political process concerning mandates going forward in the middle of spring. And that means that, you know, we actually have a chance to survive to the point where we, you know, where everyone is can see what we're dealing with. There won't be, you know, you won't need to have anything clarified by some kind of pundit in the independent media. I mean, forget that. It's going to be out. It's going to be out, Tim. People will know. I mean, you know, you look at that article in the UNS Review, you can just see, man, if these trends go, you know, for another 30, 40 days, they're not going to be able to camouflage this. And so now the citizen will have a chance, you know. We definitely, I was very worried, mentioned to you many times, you know, I was worried that they would just squash us before we had a chance to even organize ourselves. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, I don't know if, you know, there's just too much clarity about the possibility that the vaccines are evil. You know, I don't know if you saw they're keeping a track of all of the athletes who died during sporting events.
Yes, a lot of them in Europe.
Yeah, it's a huge number. And even in the United States, I think that you could have like a couple NBA players tap out in like say the same week, and this would just create, there'd be a revolution just on the other side of that. I actually contacted someone who might have a chance to communicate with NBA players, and I asked him to see if he could get them to all take D-dimer tests, take the NBA players who've had the vax, to take D-dimer tests and don't use their team doctors for this. You know, just go to like a, you know, Medi Center or whatever, find some independent analysis to get a D-dimer and see if you have any microthrombosis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because first of all, Tim, you don't want to be playing, you know, NBA basketball if you have this, because you're risking your life for one thing.
You got to remember the vaccine companies have gotten full immunity.
I know.
From any.
Yeah.
Adverse
reaction. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? It's almost like a conspiracy.
Yes.
You know.
But you know, I don't know if they get immunity from the mob's pitchforks. So.
Well, okay, that's the only
might get
way
to that.
They can never come to them because they are financially absolutely impregnable.
Yeah, and also maybe the whole Catherine Schwitz talks about shunning. Meaning people who are engaged in this should be shunned and not be, hoisted up as leaders or, you know, pundits or people we should follow. They should be shunned. Like,
of course they should be shunned at the very least. I mean, and they should also forfeit all assets. There's no reason in the world that people with the moral capacity to put on the vaccine debacle should have an interlocking network controlling all of the stock of the American large corporations.
Yeah, they were given taxpayer money to produce all these vaccines. Then the riches like BlackRock and Vanguard then use those funds to further concentrate and gain further control over.
Yeah, I mean, this is like having Tony Fauci sponsoring the gain of function research to create the coronavirus, so-called, and then manning the medical response to it on the other side of the Pacific. I mean, this is just ridiculous.
Well, they have a situation where he denied any research. NIH, He, in front of Congress under oath, he explicitly denied any funding of gain of function. Then they can you can actually go to the paperwork and find $191 billion over the years.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's called a lie. And why isn't he brought up? And, you know, because I guess he's being protected.
I mean, to me, this is the lie. This is Hunter Biden's laptop. I mean, these are just distractions from the reality of the vaccine. I mean, what the real weapon that we have to be afraid of right now isn't, you know, the collusion at the top. It's the vaccine into the children. You know,
and that, yeah, the fact that they would even propose that, it's just outrageous.
Yeah,
no, I mean, risk
it is,
at all.
It is outrageous. Well, I mean, it's really transparent, isn't it? I mean, it shows that they are evil.
Was it Mac Hancock in Britain? So you know, trying to guilt kids, you're going to kill granny. So take this experimental gene therapy drug. You know, that may sterilize you, cause you to drop dead, you know, either next week or 5 years from now, for granny. It's like, boy, isn't that a perverse relationship where the old are being, the young are being sacrificed for the very old? It's like, yeah, that's not a good strategy, really. And, you know, because. You know, they'll be gone in a few years. The young have to again, that gets that depopulation agenda, you know, which they openly talk about. Then, you know, I mean, when you talk about, you know, sustainability and the green economy, it's all about immiserating, doing away with the consumer economy, people owning things. Just 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. You have like Joe Biden traveling 10,000 miles to discuss the green, you know, the green agenda. His motorcade, I heard, was 85 cars long.
Good
so
God.
Large carbon footprint, if you care about such things, to talk about the green agenda, you know, which is the end of just a cartelization to control the,
the green agenda, the Club of Rome.
Yeah.
These are just birth control philosophies that, you know, I mean, they have about as much concern about a healthy ecological system, you know, as they do about, you know, Joe and Tim's bank accounts. I mean, they don't care one iota. They do, could care less. The purification is well underway. I think that the vaccine regretful are going to be quite the political force here, just based on my small sample size of people who already are regretful, and they are militant, right? The ones that are suspicious now are, they took the vaccines because they're intimidated, work-related. Now they're finding they're having side effects. I mean, this group could be very, very potent politically going forward. And there's also the clarification, you know, of, that look of, these things are evil. It isn't a vaccine. It's a shot clot, you know? So things are clearing up, and I think we're going to have to fight, but this could be a really interesting year coming up, Tim. I just think this could be great because things will finally be clear. The distraction and the hallucinations and the workers' paradise and the intimidation and all the things they have done to keep us from thinking clearly, well, it's all gone. That's in the mist at that point. You know, people will be able to know what's real. The purification, and of course, the people who will be the most ill and out of the way are the ones who have been, you know, the biggest problem. Organizing ourselves because they've succumbed to the woke political ideas, and we have to deal with them. But shortly we won't need to. We'll be all by ourselves in the streets. So
their ranks will be thinned.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
So okay, Joe.
All right, Tim. Well, thank you very much, and we'll talk next week.
Take it easy. Bye bye.
All right, brother. Bye bye.